So.
Okay, so my name is Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London, and the Wellcome Trust. It's the 5th of September, 2009, and the time is 20 past 4 in the afternoon. Can you tell me your name, your age, and where you come from?
Well, my name's Carol Groves. I am 60, unbelievable, I know. And we live in Western Australia, in Perth. But at this moment in time, we're living in Shoreham-by-Sea, Sussex.
What is it you're doing in Shoreham?
Well, we're from Sussex. We live in Sussex. We've been in Western Australia 20 years now. And so my son, who is a teacher but has been brought up in Perth and educated in Perth, is now in Sussex looking for work as a physical education teacher. So he only came in February, and in June his mother followed him for 3 months. So I've been here for 3 months and I'm living with him.
And when was it... you found out about the One Another Project?
Well, a friend, Mervyn, who's here today supporting me, was on the plinth on the 11th of August at 6 o'clock in the morning. He is part of the school reunion that we've had over the last few years. We've all got together, we've all hit our 60th birthdays this year. So he was on at that morning at 6 o'clock, celebrating the 60 years of his life, and we came to support him, and he told me all about it, and I was desperate to get on it, desperate.
So what was it then that inspired you to put your name forward to become a part of it?
Well, the fact that it's London, and I absolutely love London. I've worked in London for 13 years, and I just love London whenever I'm in Perth. You know, London is my favourite city. To be actually on the plinth in Trafalgar Square at this moment in time, I didn't know that the Ashes, my presentation's going to be on the Cricket Ashes tour. I've been a lifelong British supporter of anything, really, and so I've been ribbed about it in Australia from my Australian mates about this for 20 years. So here was the opportunity, perhaps, if I was accepted, to get on the plinth in London, which I love, with hopefully London behind me, supporting the English team, even if they didn't win the Ashes. As it is, they have. So what a wonderful opportunity for me to get stuck into those Aussies back in Perth, saying, woohoo, I'm here, win or lose, I'm here, and we've won. So, brilliant. Thank you for the opportunity.
That's okay. What's life like in Australia then? What was it that kind of made you go across there in the first place?
Oh, well, we were £10 poms in the 70s, came back again, a marriage failed. Got married again, thought, well, I loved Perth, dragged everybody out at Perth from Sussex. They didn't want to go, but I said, no, we'll love Perth. And then when we got there, 15 years had elapsed, so it wasn't quite as I remembered it. But the family all loved it, so we've been there 20 years. But as I say, you know, I take the opportunity to come backwards and forwards.
And what was it that made you kind of go out there in the first place? So can you explain for the record the £10 pom scheme?
Oh, the £10. Oh, gosh, yes, this was absolutely yonks ago, wasn't it? Yes, I think, well, we went in the 70s as £10 poms. I think it finished in probably the 80s. And that was to attract people from England, mainly, I think, for their skills base. They were lacking the skills that, you know, that were required at the time. So one had to meet standards like shorthand typing and things like that, which I met. Yes, that's like £10. And then you paid £10 to get out there, and you had to stay 2 years. The government insisted you stay 2 years, otherwise you'd have to pay your fare there and back again. And after 2 years, you were free to come home. But we stayed 4 years and then came back. And that was the £10 pom basis.
And how does life compare then between your life,
well,
in Shoreham, life
look,
in Australia?
We live in Western Australia, which is the most isolated city in the world geographically. For me, it's also the mentality of the people who live there, because they are isolated and they like that sort of lifestyle. And I wholly envy them for that, because it's a beautiful place. Western Australia is stunningly beautiful, but because of its isolation, you can drive for 24 hours and still be in Western Australia, and that drives me absolutely up the wall. I like to travel, so I miss the availability of travel. I miss world news, although now we've advanced and we've got Sky TV and Foxtel, so I do get world news. I miss my history because I was brought up here. I miss my friends here, although I've got good friends over in Australia. Those are the sorts of things I miss living in Western Australia.
So tell us then about the Ashes and all things British that you support from
brilliant,
across
isn't
there.
It? Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Well, we've always supported the English, always. You know, we are the Australian teams to me are not gentlemanly. I keep saying, you know, people rib me about the English losing. I said, well, we lose so well. We are, you know, we're gentlemen when we lose. Yeah, you know, the Australians are so competitive. I am not competitive, she says, getting up on the plinth and, you know, really getting stuck into the Aussies. I'm not a sports person in any way, but I am loyal to my country and, yeah, I'm patriotic. I admire patriotism in anybody, for their own country. What I don't admire is criticism of my patriotism. So that's what I'm doing on the plinth. Brilliant.
And can you tell us what it is you do for a living?
Yes, absolutely. I've always done admin-y sort of work. Here I worked in Westminster for 13 years in a local government association and in the Houses of Parliament. And when I went to Western Australia, I worked as protocol officer of the Lord Mayor, which was a great introduction to Western Australia because you learn who's who was pretty quickly. And from then on, I've gone through various changes, but still in an admin career. And at the moment, and for the past 3 years or 2 years, I've worked for this brilliant company in Perth who are experts in child safe play safety. So in playground industry, they have been brilliant to me because I wasn't here last year, but the year before I was here for 4 months. This year I've been here for 3 months. So I flip between that job and when I'm here I do temp admin work. At this time I've been here I've worked in a funeral directors, a nursing care home, at Brighton Racecourse, the horse racing, and I just love it. I think variety is the spice of life.
And what do you get up to in your spare time?
Well, here in England, I travel, and I've got all my friends here, and I spend lots of time catching up with friends, travelling. In Perth, I've got my beautiful daughter and my stunning grandchildren, and I help out with them as much as I can. And I exercise, I'm a Keep Fit fanatic, and I decorate, and I like to socialise, I'm a party person.
And you mentioned, not to dwell on your age, but you mentioned turning 60. How's that? What's the significance?
Look,
significance?
I really don't. Well, no, it's fine. You know, I really don't mind being 60. It is what it is. I refuse to. I acknowledge it, but you know, that's all. I'm not slowing down. I'm not. You know, no. I'm living life probably more to the full, and I hope. Well, I know that all my friends are as well.
So going back to the plinth, what's the emotional experience been like from applying to receiving the
allocation? Well, I was rejected at first. Rejected? I couldn't get over it. I was, because when Mervyn got on, and he was rejected at first, but when he got on and I didn't know he'd been rejected, I was so envious because I was here in, 3 months in London, English person, wanting desperately to get on and rejected. And I told Mervyn and he said, well, don't worry, he was rejected first as well. So, and then I got the offer, of this brilliant time slot on a Saturday at 5. It's only midnight in Perth, and so I shall be talking to people in Perth, and especially my daughter and my grandchildren, so, you know, I'd like to be focused on them at some stage. I rub it on so much. What was the question?
The emotional experience.
Yeah, look, I am thrilled. I have driven everybody mad with this. My husband came over for 2 weeks from Australia, but has extended it for this other week so that he's with me today. And I think he's beginning to regret it because he wished he'd gone back again. So, yeah, I am so excited.
And what does it feel like to be part of an Anthony Gormley piece of art as well?
That's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. You know, I know vaguely, my husband's more into art than I am, and I spoke to him about it, and he reminded me of the projects that Anthony Gormley's done in the past. I have to say, you know, that I am not that involved as he has been, but he's taken me through it, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant because it's going to be for posterity, and good old Anthony Gormley.
So how was it you described yourself on the website?
Oh, shy, retiring, not.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, I like to talk. I'm not a private person in any way. We are going to have fun on there. I like public participation. I don't like to be singular. In my life, I like people around me, and I always say this about Australia. I prefer people than space. I don't want space. I like people, and I don't mind. Oh, I quite like the sound of my own voice. Could you tell? I am sure I shall be a little nervous up there. The most important part of my experience on the plinth is going to be promoting Ronald McDonald Homes for Children. Now, Ronald McDonald Homes for Children, it's a lesser known charity. We provide care and support for families with children in hospital. It is little known. And so the first few minutes are going to be devoted to telling people about Ronald McDonald Homes.
And what's your association with that?
I volunteer with Ronald McDonald Homes in Perth, in Western Australia. And the link to my cricket thing is that our patron at Ronald McDonald Homes in Perth is Adam Gilchrist, who is past wicketkeeper of the losing Australian side. So I start off promoting Ronald McDonald because it's a brilliant, brilliant charity. I hope no people here have to use it, because that means healthy, happy children, which is brilliant. But if people have to use it through their children being hospitalised, then it's a great place to be, and a brilliant charity that I hope people will support.
So what would you say are the most important things to you at the moment?
Children. My family are the first most important. My son here today, who's looking for work, and I shall say that he is a teacher, and if there's any school out there looking for a teacher, he's the most dedicated teacher with a good rapport with children. My beautiful daughter in Perth, and my grandchildren, and then obviously children throughout the world, the welfare of children, because I volunteer with Ronald McDonald, which provides support for families with children, and I work with Playwright Australia, who provide care for children in play. And previously, I've volunteered with Radio Lollipop, that's linked to Children's Hospital, and you have them here as well, where there's the Radio Lollipop set up in the hospital, and we go around and encourage children to participate in nightly competitions and take them to the studios that are based in the hospitals. And that's, you know, on the premise that happy children get better quickly, and I do think that's right.
And what hopes and fears do you have for the future?
Oh, I haven't got fears for the future. I don't believe in fears for the future at all. No, you have to plan. People should plan for the future. I am a planner, and, you know, people should plan for the future. And the usual hopes, really, for me, children, you know, will be better cared for. You know, I have a fear for children growing up, but I think this world is getting better. No, I'm a positive person. No hopes, no fears.
And finally, how are you feeling just before you go up on the plinth?
Can't wait.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.